from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, the drive is live. And look, this is a big next 24 hours or so. And we got you covered right here. Anybody who loses their job, anybody who's cut, sliced and diced, because that's happening, we're going to let you know right away here with the Texans. Cheryl's going to be on it. Tyler's going to be on it.
And Tyler, no smart-ass comments today.
In what way?
Just be you, Tyler.
About guys getting cut with you laughing in the background.
Oh, I think he laughs at Texans.
None of these guys exhibit enough Turkish behavior for me to laugh at them.
Even if it's someone that's wronged you. There's nothing funny about it.
Yeah, he just laughs when at Jacob DeGrom and his injury.
Trout.
Trout's not a turd.
Please, Trout's not a turd, but the media that props him up
just
is.
Went blank. How about
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, turd.
Can we make a, like, can no one get on the turd list for getting cut this week from any team?
I don't think a Texan will.
From any team?
I can't guarantee from any team.
Boy, if a big name loudmouth gets cut, he's going to the Turkish for sure.
I can't guarantee any name, but I think any Texan that possibly might get cut is going to be just fine. No turd podium for those.
They're going to be safe. Okay,
like you, you could hit it like because we're not. Listen, I'm telling you right now, we're not doing breaking news for many of these people. Now, if
Damian, which is a beautiful thing,
Damian Pierce or somebody else, we may do it, but we ain't doing it for that. But like, I don't want to hear any. Hey, guys, I just want to let you know that Quintez Cephas is gone.
No, I would never do that to Cephas.
Oh, Cephas is gone, baby.
No, they're safe. They're safe.
But I think, Tyler, from what I've seen thus far, Jacob Phillips has been cut. Dieter Elsland has been cut. What's my man's name? McTelvin
Agim. Sosa Agim. Old Razorback. He's an old Razorback. Texarkana kid.
McTelvin.
Yeah. Melvin wasn't good enough. They just threw some.
They added a little something. McTelvin. Family name.
It's family name. He goes by Sosa.
But Sosa. All right. So, but we'll keep you updated because yes, they got to get down to 53. Obviously, by tomorrow, I think it's 3 o'clock tomorrow. They got to get down to 53. And we will keep you updated if any cuts start to get reported between then. Before we move on, because I do want to get to this Metchy stuff that's coming out. Do you get the sense that we'll see a name that's a surprise, that's out of the ordinary, or a name that you're like, whoa, I didn't think that they would let this person go? Anybody there that you think will be a surprise cut?
Not cut. I think we could see a trade. A trade from a guy that most of us would probably have on the roster, either one of these receivers or a potential running back. The only thing, Ron, that I think for me that keeps me from thinking that we're going to see that name is I do think there are some injury designations that may take place that will allow them to keep everybody, at least for the first month of the season. I'm not real familiar with the whole cut designated to return, all that kind of job. I don't know exactly how all that stuff is executed and how it works. But the Noah Brown situation is interesting. The Will Anderson situation is interesting. You're down in their linebacker depth, I think, is, I don't know that they could put a finger on exactly who they want to keep. you know, your fullback situation is hairy as all get out. I don't know what exactly what that's going to look like.
Depending on how they want to use that position.
Yeah, depending on what they do. But you got it. But the thing is, and again, this is kind of one of those things where I'm not real familiar with, but like, is this a decision that you're going to have to find? Like, can you use Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz in that role? Is it just 1 week, or are we talking about a month of the season? Are we talking about 6 weeks?
Like, hell, what are we, if it's 34, and what you begin out of that, he'll use any.
34 ain't making it, boss. If it's anybody, it's British Brooks. But there's it's just, like that kind of thing is one where there's three or four positions where injuries are going to play a role, and the Texans, the way that Nick Caserio works this roster, they're going to be able to retain, I think, more guys than we expect. Like, I think there's a chance. You look, like I said, Andrew Beck. I think Will be fine, but Andrew Beck.
Christian Harris,
there you go, another one.
Yeah.
So I think those are, you know, if you remove all those guys, and I don't know how it all works, but if those guys are out for a handful of games, then I think that 53-man roster can look totally different than what everybody's guessing it can look like. So we shall see.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated. As we said, we're gonna be looking at that, keeping our eyes open for that, to see if there are any moves that are made. Right now, just those three guys up to this point. All right, Clint, there is reports out, Jordan Schultz first reported this, that Clint, multiple teams have reached out to the Texans to see if wide receiver John Metchie III would be available in trade due to a plethora of receivers on the Texans roster. It's unclear if Houston would move him, but several teams are keeping a close eye. The former second-round pick out of Alabama had 10 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown in the preseason, most of them coming in that one game when he went 6 for 68 with a touch. And, Clint, I think this is one the Texans better be careful of.
Yeah.
I think this is one the Texans better be careful of.
But I know where you're going.
Like, for me, we've talked about, despite how we feel, despite the production, I think one thing we can say is, for me at least, it hasn't been that huge of a gap in those back receivers that we've been talking about.
Yep.
It's not like, you know, one of us played like Tank Dell and the rest have played like this. There's not a huge gap. I think all of the Robert Woodses, the Xavier Hutchinsons, the John Metchies, those guys have all been in close range of each other. And Clint, I think there is a serious relationship between the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, and John Metchie. And you're embarking on what could be the most promising, amazing season for the Houston Texans in the history of the franchise. And a lot of that has to do with the quarterback and how he is.
The arrow's pointed up.
And I think since it's close, I think the closeness of their relationship, I think you just want C.J. Stroud to be in the most positive place as you can possibly make him. I'm not saying that he's soft or anything, that this would kill him if they made a move on John Metchie. But I think since it is close, I think it would make sense to keep him on this roster, especially with the relationship he has with the by far the most important player on the team.
Yeah, look, I think the John Metchie situation, that the dynamic and on the field and off the field is real. I mean, there is, it's not just your cut and dry. Is he good enough to play? Does he make the 53? There's clearly a slippery slope there with C.J. Stroud with how close those two guys are. There's definitely a relationship there to where I think, given how involved C.J. Stroud was on the Tank Dell deal, obviously on the Diggs deal, and how he is damn near, not quite, but damn near standing side by side with D'Amico Ryans in a lot of these decision makings. I think it's a slippery slope, and a conversation would have to be had, or at least it would be necessary, right? With that, there's no denying that.
No, I'm not saying nothing like, hey, somebody want to offer you a third-round pick for John Metchie. Now, I think, CJ, you got to understand that. What I'm saying is, if you're saying, all right, man, we're sitting there between Hutch and Metchie.
Yeah.
Even though, to me, I think Hutch has been the far superior player throughout all of camp and in these games, I think it's close enough where you go, all right, for the relationship and the situation with CJ, I'd go Metchie.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, you're talking about your fifth or sixth receiver. So in terms of him impacting or positively or negatively is slim to none at the end of the day. At least you hope so. You hope there's not that many injuries. But there's also a future play potential here, right? When you look at John Mechie and you look at the wide receiver room, Diggs and Brown are not long-term players for this team. Now, they may be, which again, I'm not privy to the information. D'Amico and Nick may be looking at
Woods.
He's the other one that could be up out of here. But Diggs is one where, like, they could be looking at Diggs and going, we've seen enough. We want this guy for multiple years. There could be an extension in the works. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see about that. But right now, the wide receiver room, the reality of it is you got Tank and you got Nico Collins at the top. That's really the extent of the future play. This year's a different animal, but future, you know, there's going to be room in that third spot or in that fourth spot. And look, I've been critical of John Mechie, but there's no denying what he was able to do the last 2 weeks of the preseason, right? And we talked about it after the third preseason game. Against the Giants, we talked about how that wasn't just a good game. There were levels to it. There were different skill sets at the wide receiver position that he showed. And then he comes out and has a good enough day to stay on the scene and stay in the conversation. And one of the things he does is he puts a DB and a blender on his first catch. I'm not saying that he went out there and oh my God, the twitch and the change of direction and the shake this guy has is unbelievable. But we hadn't seen John Mechie catch a ball underneath and make a defender completely whiff in terms of tackling. He added that to, you know, what he's bringing to the table, whether it's here in Houston as that future play or it's somewhere else bringing that trade value. Ron, if there's several guys on this team that could be traded. You brought up Robert Woods, but Robert Woods ain't going to bring nothing back, right? Somebody's going to have to eat some salary with Robert Woods, and you have to take it's just an older player, so he's not going to bring anything back in return. I don't know that Damian Pierce hasn't done enough negative to offset the positive that he did year one. I don't think there's going to be any notable return there. When you look at John Mechie, a former second-round pick, and there is a very valid excuse why there wasn't any production year one and really year two.
Yeah,
And now we see a small, short window, but in that short window, Ron, he put a lot of wide receiver skill on tape. Again, the route running, the creating separation, the shaking the guy this past weekend and where he didn't even touch him, the catch out of bounds that didn't count, that was it was a big-time layout type of catch. He showed how high his ceiling could potentially be. So was that enough for the Texans to say this is our future play, or was that enough for another team to come in and say, hey, man, we'll give up some decent draft capital for a guy like John Mechie? We'll see.
Yeah, as I see some people on the text line saying, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but come on, it's about putting the best team out there. And I agree, and some of a part of putting the best team out there means that your most important player and your quarterback is as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it does mean that. And I'm not saying that I don't believe, like I said from the beginning, I don't think this is going to crush or kill C.J. Stroud, whatever. Like, if it had to happen, right? I'm just saying, I think there's a part of that in the thought process.
Absolutely.
And especially with how close these guys are, right? Again, like, if you can, like, we're not talking about something that can really, like, a fourth round pick, a future can really help the team. And then, all right, well, hell, man, we could use that to help add to the team. And Hutchinson is here, whatever. But I'm just, in these situations, like, there is a relationship and a trust value between them. And this, you know, like, hey, man, just like when Tank comes up, Tank going to get paid.
I would think so.
That's this guy.
I would think so.
Like, Tank going to get paid. That's this guy. So, to me, I understand the thought of that, but.
No, I think it's all real, Ron. It's valid, man. I mean, look, whether you agree or disagree with how powerful it is, CJ ain't the first one. Texans ain't the first one to have a quarterback that's got a great relationship. Look, Randall Cobb rode Aaron Rodgers' coattails for another 5 years. I mean, hell, he rode Aaron Rodgers' coattails to a short contract in Dallas, a little bit of something in Houston.
Still guys with the Jets that still ride.
Yeah, I mean, man, that's just the reality of it. That happens, and to be completely honest with you, hell, it should happen more often. To be honest with you, if a quarterback's got that kind of chemistry with a guy, and you can keep them together. If you're a coach, you're a fool not to keep them together. And so when you, but we're talking about a guy that's done absolutely nothing in real time here. And so when you talk about the future play of John Metchie, I mean, is it realistic to talk about a future play of John Metchie in a conversation about whether they keep Diggs or not? Probably not fair.
No.
I mean, Diggs is on a different level, so they probably shouldn't factor
in the same conversation.
It's not even so. So it's there's a lot of layers to this, and whether you agree with or disagree with, like, the power of it, like, it all exists. Like, the John Metchie making a play, and it could be a street. Like, I mean, just, again, like a receiver making a guy miss, making a second or third string DB miss, really, in the big scheme of things, isn't that big of a deal in a preseason game. But if you were watching that sideline, I mean, guys had to restrain themselves from not getting on the field during play.
They want to go in there and celebrate that touchdown with all of them.
And D'Amico Ryans and company, they sit around, and when they talk about whatever they're going to do with John Metchie, that is going to be one of the bullet points. The relationship with C.J. Stroud is going to be one of the bullet points. Those are all part of the conversation. To what degree? How powerful are they? What kind of impact do they have on that conversation? I don't know, but they're definitely in the damn room. That conversation, those nuggets are definitely being discussed.
Tyler, I haven't really heard your voice today.
Something must be wrong with it.
I wonder, is he in it?
Oh, no, I'm good. I was just here busy a bit.
I'm just saying, when I say hear your voice, I'm thinking, coming off of what you came off of, I wondered if we get scruff voice Tyler.
If it was yesterday, you would have.
But nasally Tyler yesterday?
Oh, Tyler, all day yesterday.
Did you drive back? Did you drive home hungover?
Thank God I did not have to drive. I rode with one of my boys here in Houston. He drove us up to New Braunfels and got us back. But yeah, yesterday I was in a bad place.
Tyler, I ain't gonna lie to you. Not yesterday I was not jealous of you, but when you texted me listening to the old post game show on the Comal River.
Yeah, man, I was listening to you and Shawnee P out there on the river.
I was a little jealous.
It was nice.
I mean, on that river, I'm sure. By the way, on that river, you drink cold beer?
Oh, yeah. We had a keg in a tube floating with our group.
What did you drink when you played golf?
I was drinking primarily vodka when we were out on the golf course.
I told you.
What was it?
It was like some sort of spritzer deal. It was very refreshing in the hot sun. It was like vodka and some sort of like maybe pineapple juice or something.
No, I was off. That's refreshing. He thought you were going straight beer. I said, no,
at some point you got to go to beer. You can't go hard liquor the whole time.
No,
like 18
no.
holes, right?
I went beer the whole time we floated.
No, I'm talking about on the 18 holes of golf.
You went vodka 18 holes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Were you cross-eyed when you got off?
And a few fireball shots.
Somebody on the text line said fireball.
Yeah.
Somebody on the text line. It might have been one of your boys texting in.
I mean, I was pacing myself. I was actually in pretty good shape by the time we finished 18.
I thought you were going to go bourbon. I thought you were going to go bourbon out there.
Yeah, on that hot sun, that's tough.
Your usual.
Pineapple spritz are solid, but
he thought you were going to go beer.
I thought you'd start with a Bloody Mary and then ease your way to a bloody beer and then go straight beer.
No,
I was drinking Nooners too, actually, now that I think about it. Those High Noons.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, those are refreshing. Pineapple High Noons, some sort of pineapple vodka that they were making at the course, and then a few fireball shots.
T, I told him the only time I've ever drank hard liquor for an entire 18 holes was with John Daly, and I was cross-eyed by about 14. Almost hit a hole in one on it was a par three that was dead straight, trees on both, like lining both sides. It was as narrow as you could imagine, and it was over 200. And I hit a ball. I knew it was straight, but I lost it about 50 yards off the tee.
Yeah.
When I got up there, it was about a foot from the damn pin.
That's beautiful. Mr. Daly will do it to you.
Oh, man, it was awful. I don't know how you do it, man.
Fireball shots.
I think there was only like two or three of the 14 of us out there that were drinking beer on the course.
Y'all was out there getting after it.
The debaucherous group?
I wonder what that back nine looked like. When I say back nine, I mean 10.
I bet there was a time when that swing lube worked and you really was hitting it good, and there's probably a time when that ball got a bit blurry down there and got off the rails
really,
a little
I
bit.
I really was. The only one that I saw, and he wasn't in my group of four, but the only one in our group I saw that looked kind of sloppy on the back nine was old Blame Blame. But that's to be expected. Yeah, shocker.
Dog off the meat wagon, Blame Blame.
Yeah, I found his vape on like the 10th green, and I was like, I think this is Blaine's. It was just laying in the middle of the green. I was like, I guess I'll get it to him.
He was dialed in on the putter, man.
Yeah, he was sloppy.
Let's go to break. We found Blaine's vape on the 10th hole. All right, coming up, Hey, the Astros did what they needed to do without the big fella. We'll get the latest on what's going on with Yordan Alvarez and Mauricio Dubon.
Is he all right?
Who?
Mo.
I hope Mo is. I hope Yordan is, too, because he ain't played over the weekend.
I was talking about Dubon and that wall.
Well, yeah, we'll have to get to Dubon, because Dubon, well, you ain't never made me. It never made me look so good ever in my entire life. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in. As we said, the Texans going to have to get down to 53 coming up, I think 3 o'clock tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. We will keep you updated on guys if they let them go between now and while we're on the show. Listen, the Astros had a big weekend series, and look, I would say all was pretty good to split with that Orioles team. It was tough because you felt like you gave up some leads, but to split with that Orioles team without Yordan Alvarez, I would say that was probably a pretty good outcome for the Astros in Baltimore against a really good team, not being at full strength. I'd say it was a successful 4-game series.
Hell yeah, it was. Absolutely it was. I mean, no Yordan, no Kyle Tucker, no Justin Verlander. The three of the four guys that pitched, two of them are youngsters that you ain't real sure about yet that haven't just completely arrived. One of them's a guy you just traded for, and all of Astros Nation was somewhat disgusted by the trade and the numbers and what he Kikuchi walked in the door with.
He has mastered the 5 2/3.
Yeah, no doubt. So I mean, look, you go in there without your two biggest guns in this lineup, with ultimately three new faces in terms of your starting pitching, in the four games, and you split in the two games that you lost. Really ultimately great job by the Orioles, not minimizing what they were able to do, but could have gone a different way.
You
very
feel like
very
you blew
easily.
Your best, arguably your best guy in the pen in Friday night's game gave up a bases loaded homer.
Yep.
to give up the lead. Yep. And Abreu.
Yep. And so the way in which you lost, although it was frustrating, it's promising. And the performance in game by those three of the four starting pitchers, even though Fromber was great, we're comfortable with Fromber, we get it, and then you did it without the two biggest guns in your lineup. I am A-okay with it, man. In fact, I am more than that. I'm by the way, Neris pitched
Hector, yeah,
and we're talking about Tay-Tay. Oh, Taylor Scott's getting touched up again, boys. I mean, the Neris thing could end up being much bigger than maybe we thought at first glance. So,
more than an inning,
I think it was a hell of a weekend for the Astros, no doubt.
By the way, Ryan Pressly, who is on the IL, he is throwing bullpen session in Philadelphia as they will take on the Phillies, but he is with the team throwing a bullpen session, so hopefully that means he's getting close. They had already said that he wasn't going to have a stint in the minors for a rehab start. So that's where they are. I do want to Tyler, help me out here and play for me a play of last night's game, my favorite play of last night's game, and maybe for a long time, Mauricio Dubon, who made the SportsCenter top 10 on Sunday with a hell of a play, one of the best plays of the baseball season.
The numbers that have been retired in Cincinnati from 1, 5, 10, 11.
In the air, left field, off the bat. That one well struck towards the corner. Oh! How about Dubon racing for
forever is what he said, and ran into that wall. They asked him how he feels. He said, he feels like I just got beat up.
You got hit by a Mack truck, baby.
Listen, I'm going to say this right now. I have talked about it from the start of the season that I felt like he should be the center fielder. It is wild to me based off what he did. When I say wild to me, and listen, I think Jake has had a career season for him, but I think it's wild to me coming into the season based off of what Dubon has done and did that he didn't get the nod and I understand the utility thing, but then you start to look at, well, how many places is he gonna step in for? Like, you came into the season saying Jake's gonna be an everyday guy, and then so is Chaz at the time gonna be an everyday guy, and he plays the middle infield. Well, you know, any of those guys in the middle or Bregman take a lot of days off. So it's just like, where were you gonna put him a lot of the times when you played him? And I'm telling you right there, don't tell me he doesn't have the range or the ability to play center field. Right there, like that range he showed, the ground that he covered to get there was absolutely ridiculous. So clearly he has plenty of range to go get balls wherever he needs to go. And he did that last year. Clearly he has the better arm in the outfield over Jake. Clearly he does. Clearly he is the better offensive player than Jake is. And that's why I will continue to push that dude should be the center fielder, especially when Kyle Tucker comes back, because now there will even be lesser opportunities to put him in the game. He should be in this puppy, in the lineup, in center field, if you're not going to play him at third base for Bregman. He should be in center field, in my opinion, because obviously the glove is there, as he just showed, and that's not the first time he showed it. And clearly the glove and the combination of what he could do at the plate, far to me, that combination exceeds what Jake Meyers does. I think he just proved, again, why he should be, to me, should have been the center fielder from the jump.
Yeah, look,
and he's having a bad offensive year right now because of what's happened up late.
He's had a rough run lately.
Yeah, he's been jerked around.
But he's coming around.
Where he's, you know, how many times he's going to hit, when he's going to hit at the plate. But, I mean, he just showed more.
Dubon reached 29.4 feet per second, and he covered 130 feet before crashing into the wall. And that 130 feet is...
There was no chance he was going to get to that.
That is the most ground covered by any Astro in the outfield. By any Astro, but outfield to catch a fly ball. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Because I asked both of you this. Jump in here, Tyler. I asked both of you this. Who would you rather, games that matter, have four at-bats? Jake or Dubon? Your honest answer.
Dubon, right? Without hesitation. And we're talking right with the wood in his hand, Dubon. Yes.
Coming up in a critical moment, who would you rather have up at the plate? RBI chance, critical moment, you need a big hit, you need a big at-bat. Who would you rather have?
Dubé.
I mean, I hope, and you've said this throughout, like when it matters, when it really matters, Joe and them will put that. They'll have the right lineup out there. I hope so. You can't tell me he's not good enough of a defender out there. Can't tell me that.
Yeah, that's to me it's Mauricio Dubon. I'm with you. I did get bombarded with some advanced stat guys the other day in a back and forth with OPC, and it's interesting because one of the guys came at me with Mauricio Dubon's the number of strikeouts over the last couple of months. He's had a rough couple of months, no doubt about it. Started out really good this year, and then had a rough couple of months. But this advanced stat guy was, they're throwing all kind of stuff out there. Okay, whatever, and. He introduced, you know, that's a hell of a run by a contact hitter. And so I'm not looking up the advanced stats. I'm like, all right, cool, man. That's a great point you made. He's had a rough couple of months. Good deal. Well, I told you I was watching this. I don't know if you watched it yesterday, Tyler, but the StatCast on ESPN2, they were broadcasting the game, and the StatCast was throwing a bunch of different stats. It's interesting. The old advanced stat guy was throwing in my face. And then less than a week later, given the year he's having, remember, rough year, rough couple months, right? Mauricio Dubon, 80.1% of his plate appearances end with the ball in play. Sounds like a hell of a deal.
It sounds 81%.
Sounds like a hell of a deal for a contact here, which he brought up, right? I wasn't saying contact this, but this guy brought it up. Guess where that ranks in Major League Baseball? All of Major League Baseball.
Where?
Sixth.
Wonder what happened. Wonder where Jake.
And I got a dude coming at me in defense of Jake Meyers, saying that this dude that's a hell of a guy to want an at bat for a contact hitter. Come on, man. Like, yeah, it's, by the way, that StatCast, I'm not the guy that is ate up with stats, obviously, clearly. But boy, that's an entertaining watch. I don't know how many fans watched this. It was on ESPN2. The game was on ESPN. ESPN2 had a StatCast broadcast, and it was the numbers are overwhelming because there's so many of them, but it was pretty cool. It was pretty interesting to watch that from that stat perspective. Really cool.
That was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, what mattered? I mean, when we saw who dressed in that game, it didn't really feel like it was going to be a lot that was going to matter. But what mattered in the final preseason game on Saturday? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I love the interaction with the people on the text line, people on YouTube and Twitch. And if you're taking us in on YouTube and Twitch, hello, how are you? That's Tyler being strange there. And however you're listening to us, we appreciate you. And then we were just talking about the Jake situation. And as someone saying, who's your utility man, Ron? Jake can't play the infield. Do you just get rid of Jake? That's dumb. No. And we were just talking about this over the break. And many people, your hatred for Jake Meyers. I don't have a hatred for Jake Meyers. I don't believe Jake Meyers deserved to be the center fielder coming in to last year. And like we talked about this before. Like, here's a couple of things. One, I'm not going to put the need of the utility fielder in front of, hey, man, that guy's our best center fielder. that guy's our best option at center field when it comes to the plate and defense. I'm going to find other things and somebody else to fill the void. Now, if I had somebody that I felt like was a really good option in center field, then yeah, I take advantage of putting him there. But like, no, if I watch what he did all last year and we started to see him, that's really the first time we ever got to see anything close to Mauricio Dubon getting every day at bat. And he was a near 300 hitter around that for most of the season. Then we started seeing him starting the playoff games in center field and we saw him coming up with big hit after big hit. Like that to me is bigger than running Jake out of there. And then second for me is, yes, like you got guys, Shea, who can play third base, right? And has. Like all of these games that Bregman has missed at third base, Dubon hasn't played any of them. DeCenzo went over there and played third once. Right? And let's just be honest about the utility thing. All right, one, Chaz, all thing Chaz does is play in the outfield. The only thing that Cabbage plays is play in the outfield. You can get rid of one of those guys and have Jake as another outfielder and a guy off the bench. I'm not saying Jake has to go anywhere. As I said, Jake's had a career year. I just look at the situation and I think to myself, like, yes, I know the importance of a utility. Yes, I don't think that's more important if this guy is your best center field option. And you got guys that can come in and be honest. How often does Jeremy Pena miss games? How often does Bregman, when he's healthy, miss games? How often is Altuve missing games? And they're not. And usually Tucker is playing, so that's not a spot because he doesn't miss games. I just, like, you can do all the, like, oh, hey, Pena needs a spot off. He needs his three games off this year. Who's going to play? Dubon. And Jake can play. And Jake's. But every day, to me, he should be the guy getting the vast majority of the starts at center, and yeah. I'll go down on the hill with that.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not crazy. I'm a Dubon guy as well. I don't want to have a utility conversation above who the best option in center field is. I think there's a reason why when it matters the most, Dubon played center field last year. The story is completely different. If you've got, like, when White Boy Chaz was out there, not Chaz McCormick, but White Boy Chaz, when he was out there and he had like a top two or three OPS in the American League, then the dynamic, then yeah, we can have a Dubon's better fit to be in a utility role conversation. But the truth of the matter is that's not the dynamic in center field right now. So it's for me, it's hard to not, especially when Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker are out of the lineup, and the lineup is obviously not as deep and not anywhere near as lethal as it once was. It's hard for me to sit there and go and really lean into Jake Meyers in center field. I mean, hell, it's.
I'm not saying Jake should be off the team. I'm not saying Jake should sucks ass. As I said, I think Jake's had a career year, and I'm glad for Jake that he's had his best season. I mean, start looking at that career year, though.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Don't just stop where you are.
All right, we were at the game Saturday, we're gonna be honest. It wasn't a lot in pertaining to like of interest. There wasn't a lot going on in that game of guys that are going to make impacts on this team. But there was one thing that was noteworthy for you, Clint.
Oh, absolutely, and it's the same thing that's been noteworthy and topic of conversation over the last handful of weeks. The only on-field action worth noting for me was Cam Akers once again. Cam Akers went out there, and in a handful of plays, whether you're talking about hitting a crease where the play is designed to go, or you're talking about seeing that the wall is built and you have nowhere to go and the cutback, and he goes and gets a first down, you see that he gets up there in traffic, and all of a sudden he starts these spin moves, the ability to make people miss. The twitch and the change of direction to go get extra when it's not necessarily blocked up perfect was on full display once again. And Cam Akers is, like I said before, it's crazy to me to think that this guy is as good as he is right now. I was just stoked that, hey, Cam's healthy, and after two Achilles tears, this dude can go.
When he first got here, did you think he was going to make this team?
No. Well, I don't know. Make the team, yeah. I thought it was.
When he first got here.
Yeah, remember we talked about, like, I thought it was a long play. Like, you don't sign him if you're going to sign him for 2 weeks and cut him.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the Cam Akers deal is a longer play. Now, whether that's on IR or you know, however you got to do it, like I never thought he would be in this conversation about one of the top two backs on this football team. And I don't know how anybody in their right mind that's watched the Texans the last season and now for a preseason, four football games, I don't know how anybody in their right mind doesn't go, I would rather, whatever carries Joe Mixon doesn't have, whenever Joe Mixon is blowed and he got to get out of the game, when we spell him in the first half to make sure we have him in the fourth half, I mean in the fourth quarter, the guy we want to give that football to, the best guy toting that rock for the Houston Texans right now is Cam Akers. And I don't know how anybody that watches.
I was floored he was playing so deep into the game.
Ron, he was
returning in the third quarter.
Bro, he was returning a kick with 2 minutes to go in the game.
I missed that.
They kicked out of the back of the end zone, but he was back to return a kick.
Like, he's making the team, right, fellas?
Absolutely.
Cam Akers is making the team, right?
My fantasy football team hopes so.
Why is he returning punts?
It was a kick.
Kick. Why is he returning kick? Why is he returning?
Testing his health, like up to that last minute in the preseason?
Well,
I don't know.
We talked about it in the postgame. Maybe it was the last opportunity.
They didn't test Davis's health.
Yeah, right? Maybe it was the last opportunity to see him with this new kickoff return.
Maybe, yeah.
And they're just trying to – I mean, if I were them and I'm watching that game and I'm watching Cam Akers do it again, I'm like, well, this guy's on the team. And if he's on the team, he's going to need to help. He's going to be one of the guys that could potentially be a return guy. Well, we got one return left. Y'all want to see one live action? They kicked it out of the back of the end zone. So, I mean, I could see where whether it was by plan or it just it's the way the game unfolded, I could see where it would be beneficial to have him back there to see what he can do. So, this is the football me talk. Like, this is just like, I don't know how, Ron, I don't know how anybody in there, and I'm convinced.
I want to say, I think he's going to make the team, but I did find it odd how often he was playing.
Yeah.
And how late in the game he was playing. Like, when you saw Brevin Jordan, they say, Brevin, hey, dog, you ain't got to put on pads today, baby.
Don't even put them on.
Blake Fisher, you ain't even got to put on pads today. But we thinking this is going to be your number two back. Because they had another back over there that didn't dress.
Mm-hmm.
They thought this is going to be your number two.
Daria Agumbawale didn't even dress.
Had another guy over there thinking, this guy's playing into the third quarter as a back.
Mm-hmm.
I think all them damn spins happened in the second half. The three spins, and now he's returning kicks in the fourth. That was just odd to me. Like, why the hell have we seen enough?
It is gonna be very, very, very interesting if the first time 28 comes out the game, if 31's back there toting a rock.
I wish, because listen, as you said, there is nobody. Somebody could have just been dropped here on Mars. And just watch this for a little bit and know, okay, that 22 guy should probably play after that 28 guy. Or anybody who doesn't know football very well. But based off everything they did, Clint, I mean, it feels like this should be a slam dunk on who would get the ball if Mixon comes off the field. But you hear what they're saying both after the game, I mean, defiant on Damian Pierce. And then today when D'Amico spoke again, I've seen enough on the field and in games that he's done enough. That I'm not 100% certain that
did he double down on his post game comments?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that today.
You hadn't heard of that. You have that. Tyler, I know it's close.
The post game comments, like he was
defiant in the post game.
I mean, 3 days before the game, my man said he just needs more opportunities, and we got to block it up better. And then after the ball game, he said,
he almost answered in a way of like
dismissive. Yeah,
yeah, like he's seen enough.
What are y'all talking about? I've seen enough.
And then today, he was asked again about he answered the question about Mechie and Damian Pierce, but he was asked about Damian Pierce today, and he doubled down on it.
Yeah, our decisions will be made on the roster, guys, over the next couple of days. And you guys will know we still have a lot of things to work through when it comes to the roster. And when you talk about those guys specifically, Mechie and Damian, I think both guys, they've done really well in practice settings and also in the game. So both guys I've seen, I know what those guys are about. I know who they are as people. And so, but we'll see, you guys will see those decisions here over the next couple of days.
Know what they did, practice and in games. Knows who they are as people, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I told you that the
So I'm not convinced. Who gets the ball?
It's interesting to move off the stance of needs more reps, we got to block it better, to all of a sudden you've seen enough. Like that. That's just wild. I mean, that's wild. So we'll see what I mean. Obviously, he's playing his cards tight to vest. Yeah. We'll see what it how it all unfolds.
Now, I'm not saying it won't be Cam Akers against the Colts when he needs a blow, when Mixon needs a blow, and I'm not saying it will. I just don't know based off what he said and what the actions were. Like, I mean, one guy's playing in the fourth quarter, and the other guy they said, "Hey, baby, we've seen enough. You ain't got a dress." It's an interesting show of it. All right, coming up, we'll look at what D'Amico Ryans had to say about his star young defensive end, Will Anderson Jr., who we haven't seen practice. I'll say this. I think I felt a little bit better about his availability coming up to start the season based off what D'Amico had to say. We'll let you hear that next. And some updates on Mauricio Dubon and Alex Bregman as well as we look at what happened over the weekend in Baltimore, and somebody got paid. Jerry, finally, finally did what he needed to do. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.